Our God is with you.
And also with you.
These are parables that are taken from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides it again. And out of joy, he goes and sells what they have, and they go and buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. And when they find a pearl of great price, they go and sell all that they have, and they buy it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. And when it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down and put what is good into buckets. And what is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked and the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace where there will be wailing and gnashing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand these things?" Foolishly, they said, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household, who will bring out of their storeroom both the old and the new." My brothers and sisters, this is the good news of Jesus.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated.
Plus years ago, when I was newly ordained and getting ready for my first church, which incidentally was St. Paul in Franklin, not too far from here, I was gathering the pastoral things that pastors collect. Among them was a small and unbeknownst to me very delicate little bowl. It was to be a gorgeous and perfect piece of pottery, to be a receptacle for ashes, for Ash Wednesday, of course. And it fit perfectly in the palm of my hand. Just the right size and ashen in color. As I recall, I got to use it for that purpose just a couple of times before it became badly broken. I was heartbroken. It held an important piece of my history, and it was like an extension of my pastoral hand. I couldn't throw it away. So I kept the pieces and lamented that it couldn't be used again. If you've ever had a favorite piece of pottery or an item and you see it crumble or shatter, you know it can seem like a part of you is lost with it. I probably didn't pay more than $15 or so for it, but like I said, the value was held in its purpose, what it meant to me. So I've kept it all these many years, and just lately it found its way to a place on my desk where it kept little things like erasers and stuff. When Tom and I chose Peter Meyer's song, "The Japanese Bowl," for worship, I got right to the process of bonding it with gold foil. And here you have a bowl that is like me. And it is also like you. You see, we all have these broken places in us, and we're not what we used to be. But as the song says, all the jagged lines make us more beautiful and worth a higher price. Every old scar shows the times we broke. And the gold did not hide the scars, it made them shine instead. This, my friends, is like the kingdom of God. It is of such great value and of such great importance to Jesus that he spoke about the kingdom more often than he spoke about heaven or even about love. Why could that be? Perhaps it is because Jesus wants us to know that the kingdom is about cherishing God's presence, and he wants us to yearn for the divine and to set our sights firmly on acquiring the kingdom now and holding it forever. In today's parables, Jesus is unveiling the very activities that we can imagine will bring us closer to reaching for and attaining the kingdom, having it for our prized possession, or I should say, making the divine a treasured part of ourselves. The kingdom is like finding a precious pearl. It is like unearthing a buried treasure. It is like hauling in a boatload of fish. Good and bad, he adds. And for the life of me, I'm not clear why the words about the fiery furnace and the grinding and gnashing of teeth are useful, maybe for emphasis in trying to make a point. These are all very active occasions. The person who finds, unearths, and hauls in the kingdom is not just sitting back watching their spiritual world pass by. I think Jesus would have us put some effort in yearning and longing and embracing him. Searching for the kingdom is four E words here. You ready for them? Exciting, enthralling, enriching, and engaging, and more. Yes, sir. Gonna get an amen.
Come on now, yeah.
Now, I want to give a mention here to today's first scripture, which is also very dynamic. Solomon, though he is young, has been raised by a stellar, if yet imperfect, king, his father David. David was close to God's heart and was certainly to be remembered as Israel's greatest king. So it's possible that young Solomon could have asked for fame or riches, or some other measure of great worth before God and the people. But Solomon asks for a gift of an understanding heart to judge God's people, distinguishing right from wrong. God is certainly pleased. It's always a win-win situation when you ask God for help in serving. And so it was. Solomon became the king known for his great understanding and his wise heart. Solomon was graced with wisdom. I love to talk about grace. In the kingdom of God, grace is the gold that binds our brokenness back together. We are like Japanese bowls. When we break into pieces, and we all do sometimes, and we take a hold of God somehow, by the divine shirt tails perhaps, we can be graced. We can be graced so that when we break, the cracks are where the light shows through. And that light is God's golden grace. Like a master smelter who melts and applies gold so carefully and gingerly, God mends our cracks.
Yes.
And because gold is a hard and fine metal, those broken places become stronger. Why wouldn't anyone want to be part of this kingdom? Well, for a minute, let's get back to the cracking open part. Brokenness generally hurts. Whether it's a relationship that's broken, or an accomplishment that's lost, or any other thing, being broken has a cost. And I know it's not my nature, and probably not yours either, to like pain, any kind of pain. We'd rather not, thank you very much. However, the human condition requires that we pass through brokenness and pain, and we have grace to help us do that. The wonderful spiritual writer Anne Lamott writes this: Jesus, on the hook of the cross, says to God, "Help." And God enters into every second of the Passion like a labor nurse. Don't you love that image of God in the delivery room as a labor nurse? She's attending to the birthing, both pain-drenched and productive. She guides and instructs and urges you toward the new creation. She grips your hand, she breathes in your face, and she tells you when it's time to make the final birth-giving push. There's no way around this process. You have to go through pain with purpose. More ungrace from Anne Lamott. She says, I've seen grace manifest as spiritual WD-40. Now, if the labor nurse was for the women here, the WD-40 is for the men. Grace manifested as water wings for the children here. As ribbons of fresh air in tight, scary rooms. I've seen people with grace survive unsurvivable losses and seen them experience happiness again. How is this possible? Anne continues, love flowed through them, to them, from their closest people and from their community, surrounded them, sat with them, fed them, swept their floors. Time passed. In most cases, their pain evolved slowly into help for others. The great Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore wrote, I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted, and behold, service was joy. Is grace alive in you today? Perhaps you have some people close to you who really need a touch of your love. Even when giving love is costly to you, even when you might rather not go that extra mile for a close one, it's what grace does, isn't it? Is grace alive in you today as a community member? Perhaps there is something that you do or help to do that requires your effort or even more your blood, sweat, and tears. Serving God in your community can be costly. No one said that life is a cakewalk. I believe Jesus rather put it like this, take up your cross and follow me. Someone once said, if we put a sign in front of the church that told the truth, it would say something like this, all our members are asked to come in and die. If not literally true, it is true nonetheless. Love is costly. You must die to self and live for Christ. Is grace alive in you today? The cost is sometimes negligible. Sit with someone. Hold someone. Feed them. Sweep their floors. It's all a part of the Master's plan. It is the kingdom of God you seek. It is exciting, enthralling, engaging, enriching, and much more. So go, find it, unearth it, haul it in. The kingdom of God is at hand, and God's grace, the golden mending material, will make you strong. Amen.
Amen.